Okay, every day in the evening we say Rabbi Shmuel, Braisa Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, this is Daf Tmur Daf Yud Gimel on the base. There's a sugya which relates very much to what we say in the evening in the Braisa. Rabbi Shmuel Amir, B'shleish Esh Emidos Hatar Nidresh Svoyen. 13 Midos. Everyone knows this. There is a Kal V'chomer, Gzer Shava, Binyan Av, Mikosad Echad, Kal Prat, so on and so forth. And everyone knows the last one. Everyone knows L'chein Shnei Chesuv Machishim Zeh Zeh. Okay, we know the last one. What about the 11th one? The 11th one is right before, well, almost right before the shatz begins. L'chein shnei chesuv, number 11. Kol davar shahaya bichlol, anything that was part of a klal, v'yatzo lidoin badavar hechadosh. And the mitzvah all of a sudden taught something unique. We have a halacha, and there's something that's very unique about this halacha. Well, let's refine it. We have something that's part of a set. We have a mitzvah that's part of a larger set, but this particular mitzvah has something unique. And now you want to know, can we apply the rules of the general set to this specific mitzvah? No! If you go out, if you're part of a set, and you leave for a chiddush, you're not allowed to come back inside to the set until the Torah invites you back. Kol davar shahaya bichlol v'yatza lidoin badavar hechadosh I ata yochol lehachazir lichlol. You're not allowed to return. Ad sheyachazirenu hakasov lichloloi b'feirish. Okay. This morning I looked in the Arch Chassidur. What does this mean? I never paid much attention to this. And it says something that's very simple. It says, for example, a bas kohen, the daughter of a kohen, is entitled to eat truma. We all know that. Let's say she marries a Yisrael. She's not allowed to. She left the klal. She was part of the kahuna.
But she could have matnas kahuna.
She left, okay, that's true, but she can't eat truma. She has other manas kuna. There are exceptions, correct, but let's just focus on eating truma. A woman who was the daughter of a kohen, her whole life was eating truma, she now marries a Yisrael. She left the klal. She married, so she can no longer eat truma. If she has a child, certainly she'll never be allowed to eat truma. What happens if she has no children?
She's not allowed to eat truma.
What?
Does that mean all trumas? Let's say she goes visits her father.
No. She only can eat truma while she's not married.
Let's say
single.
She gets married.
She's married to a Yisrael.
Married to a Yisrael.
She can no longer. No, she cannot. She cannot. Once she's married to a Yisrael, she's no longer allowed to eat truma at all. What happens if her husband dies or divorces her? So what would you say? Well, this is an example. Kol davar shoy b'chlal, v'yotza min haklal. She left the klal. Now she wants to return to the klal.
Yeah.
Nope. The halacha would be that she's not allowed, once she left the klal, she's no longer ever, for the rest of her life, allowed to eat truma. Ad sheyachzirenu hakasav l'chloloi b'feirish. We have a special pasuk that tells us that if she divorces her husband or she is widowed and she has no children, she's allowed to go back to her father's home and eat truma once again. But that's only because the pasuk explicitly teaches us that she can return to the klal. Otherwise, we would apply this principle called tovah shebichlal v'yotza min haklal. You're not allowed to return until the pasuk takes you back. Okay, that's one example. Now, the Gemara today provides us with a much more complex example. Now, let me give you not only more complex, really, it's more of a real example. This is a scenario. Let's say a halachic example. The Gemara speaks about the law of Maiser Behem. This is Masechta Tumur. We know Tumur is you attempt to exchange the Kedusha from one animal onto another animal. The Torah says this halacha, a general klal, says general halacha. Lo yachalifenu v'lo yomir also toiv bera arabitoiv. And then the Torah tells us the halacha again in a very specific mitzvah, maiser behema. Every tenth animal, you take all your animals into the pen, you count the animals, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, and then tenth animal is kodesh. And then the Torah says, the animal number 10 is kodesh, lo yomir also. Don't exchange it. And lo v'imhomer yomer behema behema v'hayohu utmeraso yiyakodesh. So the Gemara is saying, why in the world, the Gemara's question, the Gemara that's the topic of this daf, is why do the Gemara, the Torah, have to repeat the halacha of Temura in the parsha of Maaser Behema? Maaser Behema is part of the set of all korbanos. You have a korban shlam, a korban oila, you have a korban chatos. There are many korbanos. Maaser Behema is one of many korbanos. So why did the Torah repeat the halacha of Temura specifically in the parsha of Maaser Behema? That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara gives two answers. The answer we want to focus on is the answer of Rebbe. And Rebbe says this is an application of the principle, the 11th principle of Rebbe Shmuel. Dovar shahaya v'chlal, v'yatsa v'naklal, the dovar shahaya v'yatsa lidon ba dovar hechodosh. What do we mean? Let me read the Gemara. Rabbi Omer, Lama Yatzus, Maisa Behema Meyata. Why did the Torah have to specify, repeat the law of Tumah by Maisa Behema? To tell you as follows: Lidoin b'tmura shemo v'tmura skufo. Now, to make a long story short, the Gemara basically says is that because there's a tremendous chiddush in the law of Tumah. And it's called Temura Shemo. What's Temura Shemo? If you're counting your animals, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and then you by mistake, instead of saying 9, you say 10. You skip the number 9. And then you realize, oi, what did I do? I made a mistake. So then you count animal number 9, you call it 9. Animal number 10, you call number 9. And animal number 11, you call number 10. To review, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10. I called animal number 9, 10. What did I do? I made a mistake. You then call the real animal number 10, 9. And then you call animal number 11, number 10. So there have been three animals that have... that are Kodesh. Animal number 9 and number 11 have by mistake been called 10. And animal number 10 really is number 10. You just happen in this instance to by mistake call it animal number 9. So the halacha is all three animals have Kedusha. 9, 10, and 11 have sanctity. And all three have to be offered as korbanos of Maaser Behema. The Gemara calls that Temuras Shemo. Now we're learning Masechta Temura. Masechta Temura is where you have an animal, and you explicitly state, I want to remove the Kedusha from this animal and put it on this animal. What happens? Both animals are Kodesh. This is also an example of an exchange. It's not an exchange where you physically attempt to remove it with your words from animal 1 to animal number 2, but it's a mistake that occurred due to an error of counting. It's called Temura Shemo. You don't have such a concept anywhere else by any other mitzvah. This is unique to the laws of Maaser Behema in the way you count. You can give Kedusha by mistake to animal. Normally, if you make a mistake, there's no Kedusha. If you have no intent, you declare, I want this animal to be in the Korban Ola, and you have no Kavanah, had you known certain factors, you never have made an Ola, it's a mistake, it does not become Kodesh. Only when it comes to Maaser Behema is there such a concept where you can give sanctity to animal 9 and 11 by mistake. Yeah?
Go over the Maaser Behema.
What happened?
Apply, when Maaser Behema, how does that work?
What happened Maaser Behema? You're counting your animals, you have the old 10 on the pen, you're in the pen, you have a lot of animals, and as they're coming out, you count to number 10.
What's the
chiyuv? The chiyuv is to separate every 10th animal as Maaser Behema and offer it as a carbon.
Once a year?
Once a season. Yeah, basically once a year. There's a cutoff point when the flock reproduce.
So every 10th.
So you bring all the new animals once a year, basically it's once a year, into your pen, into the animal, you count them one at a time, and when you get to animal number 10, you take a marker, and you paint it red, and this animal now becomes my Maaser Behema animal. It's offered in the basin, this is a carbon Maaser Behema.
Born within the year?
Yes, born within the year. All the animals that are born within this year, correct. If you by mistake call animal number 9, animal number 11, number 10, they have sanctity. This called Temura Shemo. It's like an exchange. I really wanted to make animal number 10 holy, but by mistake I gave the sanctity to animal number 9 and animal number 11. This concept is unique. Now along comes the Gemara, and the Gemara called Rebbe, being that we have a Dover Chadash, we would think there is no other, you cannot apply the other laws of Korbanos to this, to this Korban. Being that Ma'aser Behema has a Dover Chadash, the Dover Chadash is what we call Tumura Shmo, you can by mistake give sanctity to animal number 9 and number 11, it's unique. Oh, something that's unique is now removed from the set. It's not like all the other korbanos. So although the Torah taught us that there is a din called tumura by korbanos, maybe that law does not apply to the Ma'aser Behema. Because since Ma'aser Behema has a davar hachadosh, I would not know that we can apply the classic laws of tumura. In order to restore, to return the Ma'aser Behema to the rule of Tumura, the Torah explicitly had to tell us that Ma'aser Behema is included in the rule of Tumura. Okay, so let's review. We have over here the rule, Kol Davar Shoye Bichlol, Ma'aser Behema is included in the set of Korbanos, V'yotzo Lidoin Ba'Davar HaChadosh. But there's something that's unique to Ma'aser Behema, and that you can give sanctity to animal number 9 and number 11. Oh, unique. It's no longer part of the set. The rules that apply to the set do not apply to this particular carbon. This particular carbon will not have the law of regular Tumura, where you try to exchange its Kedusha. Iyat yachol l'hachazir l'chlolo. Ad. That's why the Torah had to explicitly repeat the rule of Tumura in regard to Ma'aser Behema. Okay? That's the halacha. Now, here comes the kasha. There's a Gemara, the Gemara Masechta Zvachim gives another example of this principle. An example is a Mitzorah. A Mitzorah brings a carbon asham. First, that's Saras. After he's healed, he brings a carbon asham. The Torah, an asham, there are many ashamas. Asham gezelos, asham shivcharufa, asham nazir. There are many ashamas. The Torah tells us how to bring, you burn on the Mizbeach, you apply the blood a certain way, and you burn certain parts of the covenant on the Mizbeach. And the Torah tells us, Torah repeats all of the details of the asham mitzvah. And the Gemara is very disturbed. Why did the Torah have to repeat the details of how to offer an asham mitzvah when an asham mitzvah is part of the set of other ashamos? The Gemara says, you know why? Because asham mitzvah is included in the principle 11 of Rabbi Shmuel, called davar shoya bichlol. It was included in the general rule. The yotza lidoin ba davar hechadash. What is a davar chadash of asham mitzvah? You apply the blood of the asham to the big thumb, the big toe, and the earlobe of the mitzvah. You don't have this concept anywhere else. Nowhere else do you have a concept where you put blood from the carbon on your toe and your thumb and your ear. It's unique. Oh, it's unique. So maybe you don't offer the parts of the animal in the same method like all the other ashamos. That's why ad sheyachzirenu hakasub l'chlolay b'feirsh. Okay, that's the Gemara. That's the Gemara Masechta Yevamos. Along comes Tosfos, and it's a very simple question. Oh, that's true. So why stop there? You could say the same thing by the chatos of a mitzvah. There's something unique about the chatos of a mitzvah that's not done anywhere else. What is that? Nesachim. You pour wine on the Mizbech. Every single chatos in the Torah does not require wine. Does not require wine. The only chatos that requires wine is the chatos of the Mitzvah. So let's say, since we have something that's chadosh, something that's unique about the chatos of a Mitzvah, so the Torah should need to repeat all of the details of the chatos. But the Torah does not. So the Torah's question basically is, what's the difference between the asham mitzvah and the Chatos Mitzara. Why is the Ashan Mitzara called Davar Chadash, whereas the Chatos Mitzara is not called Davar Chadash? Tosfos says, fascinating yesod, which changes everything. In order for something to be called Davar Chadash, this is what Tosfos says, it has to go against the grain of, it has to be a contradiction to the mitzvah itself. What do we mean? Tosfos says as follows. When it comes to the mitzvah, and Asha mitzvah, what would you normally do with the blood of the Asha mitzvah? What would you know? A regular Asha mitzvah. You sprinkle all the blood on the Mizbeach. You sprinkle some blood and you pour the leftovers on. All the blood ends up on the Mizbeach. Along came to this, don't do that. Take some of the blood, don't put it on the Mizbeach. Put it on your thumb, on your toe, and your ear. The uniqueness of the Asha Mitzorah is against what you normally would have done. Normally the blood would have been applied this method. Don't do that. Do something different. That is called a chiddush. That's called davar chadash. Chatos. What's unique about chatos? What's unique about chatos is you have to also bring wine. If the Torah didn't tell me to also bring wine, what would I do? Everything would be the same. Now, what's the chiddush? Do something else. When you're doing something else that has no effect to what otherwise would have been done, that does not qualify as a davar chadash. To be called davar chadash, you have to do something which changes what otherwise would have been done. Just to add something new, that's not called davar chadash. Okay, that's Tosfos' answer. So long, come all the mefarshim.
So it's the addition that's the distinguishing.
The addition is not significant. Here we have two examples. We have the case of the Asham of the Mitzvah, and we have the Chatos of the Mitzvah. Both of them are unique. What's unique about the Asham of the Mitzvah? You apply some of the blood to the thumb, the toe, and the ear of the Mitzvah. Correct? What's unique about the Chatos of the Mitzvah?
You add
wine to the Mizbeach. From these two cases, which one qualifies for rule number 11 according to Tosfos? Rule number 11. Why the first one? Because the chiddush, the uniqueness of the Asha Mitzorah affects what would have normally been done otherwise. If not for the chiddush of the Torah to take the blood of the Asham and apply it to the thumb and toe, the blood would have been applied to the Mizbeach. Torah is telling you don't apply it to the Mizbeach, apply some of it to the thumb and the toe, do something different. But the Chatos, nothing is different. The Chatos is offered exactly the same, whether the Torah told me a Chiddush or not. The Chatos is the same. The Chiddush of the Chatos is that in addition to doing the Chatos the way you're supposed to do the Chatos, every other Chatos, I also want you to take wine and pour wine on the Mizbeach. But that wine has no effect. If the Torah did not tell me to add the wine, the Chatos would have been offered in the same way it was offered before. The Chiddush of the Chatos is just a supplement. It's not a change in the normal procedure.
But if you don't bring the Nesachim, does that invalidate the Chatos?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. In fact, it doesn't invalidate the Chatos. Just another requirement. But what you're doing is not having any effect on what was one of the original requirement. So now with that in mind, let's come back to our Gemara. All the Mefarshim asked the question, if that's the case, how could the Gemara here in Masechta Tumura and Daf Yud Gimel, today's Daf, introduce the idea of principle number 11 of Rabbi Shmuel, called Davar Shai Bechlav Yotzmech Lidam Davar HaChadosh? What's Davar Chadosh? When it comes to Tumura, there's a concept of making mistakes. The animal number 9, animal number 11. So since we find there's a new concept that you can give sanctity to 9 and 11, such an idea of giving sanctity by mistake is unique to a Tumura. There is no such concept of giving sanctity by mistake to other korbanos. Oh, it's Davar Chadosh.
So
Exactly! That's the question. Now that you have the sort of Tosis, what qualifies Davar Chadash? How in the world can the Gemara here, Masechta Tamura, say it's Davar Chadash, it's not Davar Chadash? So this is a question that everyone is busy with. Very big question. To the point where It's a very difficult question. Rashi, they wanted to say that Rashi disagreed. They wanted to bring Raya, said Rashi disagrees with Tosfos. Rashi never said such an answer. Rashi, the way we can answer the Tosfos' original question: what's the difference between the case of the Nesachim and the case of the blood? The answer is Nesachim is not really unique. It's true. There are no Nesachim by other Chatos. A Chatos doesn't have wine. But Nesachim, you have Nesachim by all the Korbanos, there are Nesachim. That's not called unique. It's unique to this particular situation. But it's Chadash must be like really new. Applying blood to the thumb and the toe and the ear, that you don't have anywhere else. That's completely unique. So that's Chadash. But Nesachim, so Rashi seems to disagree with Tosfos, and therefore Rashi has no problem when it comes to Masechta Tumur, when you're dealing with the idea of giving Kedusha by mistake. That's not called Davar, that's certainly called Davar Chodesh, and that's fine. But how do you answer Tosfos? How do you answer Tosfos? Tosfos has a very interesting yesod, that if you just add something new, that's not called Chodesh. How can the Gemara say here, Rebbe said that it's called Chodesh? So I think the answer is very simple. It's a very simple answer. When the Gemara says that there's something chadash about tamura, this really touches on the core of what is tamura. You can give kedusha to animal 9 and 11 by mistake. It's not. What is the mistake? It's just a mistake. I have here an animal. I think it's a male animal, and the carbon that I'm bringing only allows for a female animal. Chatos only a female. I made a mistake. So I tried to give kedusha to a male animal when I only can really, in this situation, bring a female. That's not the case. When you have in front of you your animals, and they're going through the pen, and you're counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and when it comes to animal number 9, you accidentally say number 10, what are you really doing? You're really creating a tamura. The kedusha that was meant to apply to animal number 10 should be applied to number 9. Oh, I made a mistake. So now I don't want the kedusha to go on animal number 9. I want the kedusha to go on animal 10. So I'm going to take the kedusha off animal number 9 and put it back on number, the real 10. But the real 10 is not the right one. You call number 11 the real 10. Making a mistake when you count, okay, we're not going to work out the details, but making a mistake when you count 9, 10, 11 is a form of tamura. And it's a unique form of tamura. So what I want to say as follows. When Tosfos invented this idea that the chiddush, what davar chiddush, must fly in face of what you would otherwise do, that's only true when you're dealing with something that's completely new. If you have something that's completely new, a new concept, look at this. You have over here carbon asham. Carbon asham, Torah tells me something new. It tells me by the chatas, it tells me to bring the sachim, and by the asham to apply blood to the thumb and toe. Is that called new? Now that's certainly something completely new. If something new is something different that would otherwise have been done to the carbon, that's called new. But when you're dealing with a halacha, that there's something fundamental that's different in the halacha of the carbon itself, that's the ultimate chadash. We're dealing here with tamura. You have a set of animals. Let's say there are 15 korbanos, make believe, I don't even know how it is. There are 15 korbanos. In 15 korbanos, there's a concept called tamura. The concept of tamura is, I want to exchange the kedusha of animal number 1 and apply it to animal number 2. When it comes to Meiser Behema, there's a new type of tamura. It's irrelevant that the tamura, whether it's something which is completely new, or it goes against the what would... You don't need that. You don't need to come on to it that what I'm doing now is something that otherwise I would not have done. That's a secondary chodash. When in this particular carbon, The rules of Temura are completely different. There's a way to create a Temura by counting in a different way. That is a Chiddush that is so fundamental, automatically it's called Dover Chadash. By the case of Asham, you don't have a fundamental change in the carbon Asham. It's an Asham like every other Asham. There is a new halacha. A new halacha, you apply the blood to the thumb and toe. So new is not significant. Being that it's something which is new, which affects what something that otherwise would have been done different, that's called new. But by Temura here, you don't need to come on to that, because it's a different form of Temura. And in fact, the Gemara calls it Temura. The Gemara says Temura Shemo. Every carbon in the set of carbonos where you create Temura, it's called Temuras Gufay. I have two animals, one Kodesh, one Chol, and one to exchange the Kedush animal, one animal, and two. It's called Temuras Gufay. Here, the Gemara says, by Maaser Behema, there's something called Temuras Shemo. It's also called a Temura. And that's why that's called Davar Chadash. Now, I'll give you another example. All the parshas we got is another. Tois doesn't mention this, but Rashi mentions Toda. It's a Gemara. The carbon Toda, the Gemara apply. It says that the way the carbon Toda is offered is repeated. The way we know how to offer a carbon Toda, some of the details are permitted. And Rashi says, why are the details repeated? Why isn't carbon Toda included in a set? So Tosfos says, Rashi says, because Toda is a Dover HaChadosh, principle number 11 of Rabbi Shmuel. Why? Because Toda, you bring 40 breads. Only Rashi says this. Rashi learns, because Rashi literally taught us, in order to be called Dover HaChadosh, you only need to have something new. Now, according to Tosfos, would that be enough? According to Tosfos, just having something new, that's not enough. Tosfos would need to come on to another answer, that there's something unique about Toda. Toda you only eat for one day. Toda is Kodshim Kalim. Kodshim Kalim is eaten for 2 days. Toda is unique among the Kodshim Kalim. You eat for one day. So if not for the requirements of Toda, you would have done otherwise. You would have extended the period of Achila. So in Echnami, Toda indeed is Dover Chadosh, but not because just you give something new, 40 breads. 40 breads have no effect on the carbon, but there's a Chiddush in the Toda itself which affects the way the Toda would otherwise have been treated. Normal Toda is part of the set of Kodshei Kalim, which is eaten for 2 days and the night in between. Toda, you only can eat for one day and one night. You're limiting what you would have done otherwise. That is a Chiddush in the item itself. So to summarize, we have over here, we say this doubting every single day, we've given really four examples. The main example that I saw in the article, said, I don't know where it comes from with the Kohen, that's interesting, you have to think about it, but let's go through the examples from the Gemara. Bottom line is, we have over here, B'rayis and Rabbi Shmuel. And I'm going to review these subjects very quickly. We have B'rayis and Rabbi Shmuel, says the 13 principles that Shatar Nidreshes. Principle number 11, which don't pay much attention to. It's very weird. Called Davar Shayo Bichlol, V'yatza Lidon Ba'davar Hechadosh, I'ato Yachol Hachazir L'chloloi Adshi, Hachazirin Ha'kosav L'chol B'feirosh. What can be, according to Rashi, it appears, in order to qualify as Davar Chadosh, you just need to have something new. For example, a carbon toda. What's new about a carbon toda? You bring 40 breads accompanying the offering of a carbon toda. According, in the case of a mitzvah, what's unique about a mitzvah? According to Rashi, simply an asha mitzvah, you sprinkle the blood on the thumb, toe, and ear. That's davar chadash. Oh, once davar chadash, it's removed from the set. How do we know to apply all the other rules of the set to this particular halacha? The Torah has to explicitly bring it back inside. Why don't we say it's a davar chadash when it comes to the chatos of the mitzvah? So we gave an answer. Even though it's true, the chatos of the mitzvah does have something new, nisachim, wine. That's not called new. Because many korbanos have nisachim. It's true that you don't have a chatos that has nisachim, but being that many kalach karbonis have, that's already so if that's not called new, but it has to be something which is completely new. Tosvis says a tremendous chiddush. And what about tamura? Why is tamura called tamura ma'aser behema? Why does a Torah repeat the law of tamura by ma'aser behema? According to Rashi, very simple. Tamura has the halacha of something new. What's new about tamura? You can make by ma'aser behema. Why do we have to repeat the law of tamura by ma'aser behema? Because ma'aser behema has something new that you can sanctify animal number 9 and number 11 by mistake. Very simple. Three different examples of Dover HaChadosh according to Rashi. The case of Toda, the case of Asham Mitzayra, and the case of Tumura Shema. And we also answer why don't we apply the case of Chatos Asham? That's not unique. Other Kabbalists have Nesachim as well. Tosvis is much more difficult, because Tosvis himself, when he takes note of the kind of difficulty, why don't we consider the Chatos or Mitzayra to be new? Tosvis says, in order to be called a Chiddush, the Chiddush must tell me something that otherwise you would have done differently. Asha Mitzayra, where does all the blood go? On the Mizbeach. Now you're taking some of the blood and you're applying it to the thumb and toe and ear. Oh, you're doing something different. That qualifies as a chiddush. What about Toda? Just having 40 breads, that's not new. You need to do something different about Toda that you otherwise would have done different. Eating it for one day and one night is different than Toda, which you would have eaten otherwise for 2 days and one night. What about Tamura? Our Gemara, Nafyut Gimel and Yusach the Tamura, there you don't have anything that you otherwise would have done different. It's something completely new. Here, there's a new halacha. There's a halacha that you can make a mistake. Animal number 9, number 11. Animal number 9, number 11 is not something which you could say otherwise you would have done differently. It's really like having 40 breads. It's like it's something which something just something totally new. The answer is you don't need to come on to, that's only a secondary answer. When there's something fundamental in the halacha itself that's different, that's the ultimate Dover Chadosh. Here we're dealing with a tamura, a different type of tamura. Animal number 9 is a tamura to a certain degree. Animal number 11 is a tamura to a certain degree. There's a fundamental difference in the halacha itself. That's the ultimate Dover Chadosh. We don't need to come on to Tosfos answer that a Dover Chadosh, if it runs against what we otherwise would have done, is Chadosh. This is the ultimate. That's why here, according to Tosfos, there's no issue whatsoever in dealing with the Tamura Shema, why this qualifies as Dover Chadosh. And then there's the other type of Dover Chadosh, which is, it says in the article Siddur, I'm not sure where it comes from, is dealing with a Kohen. The Kohen's daughter eats Truma. She was Dover Shoya Bichlav. The Yatzah, she went out, Lidon Ba'Dover HaChadosh. She married a Yisrael. Yeah. She no longer can eat Truma. And then her husband divorced her or died, and there are no children. She wants to come back home. Can't come back home. Ad Shiachzirenu HaKosim Bichlav Perish, only due to a specific pasuk. It's another type of example. But Sach HaKol we have here in total how many? Tamura, Toida, Asha Mitzayra, and Truma. Four different examples to understand what it means in this in the Siddur Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, let's stop here.